You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the last day of the trading week, and with me on the 5 o'clock shadow this evening is Greg Davies, as always, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, and also Nick Kunzer, who is from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg as well. Nick Kunzer, it's been a hell of a week. Your thoughts, please.
Hell of a week. I started this morning's meeting at Sanlam with literally people applauding that we actually made it this far. It's been an extraordinary week, Lindsay. I mean, started off with the biggest down move in the Dow of the year. We've had the biggest move down in the JSE so far in 2019. And I guess if you had to take one takeaway from this week, it's get ready, gentlemen. Volatility is back, and it's back with a vengeance.
Yes, indeed. What's happened to the VIX, by the way, while we're on the subject of volatility?
So the VIX was dicking around at 12% thereabouts for the first half of this year, going nowhere fast. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks ago, from the Monday onwards, let's call it 10 trading days ago, it started to run from 12%, broke through 22%, so up 100% in sort of 6 trading days. And it's softened a little bit today with this rally. It's at 18%, which is a more generally acceptable historical range, closer to 20. But still, that was, I guess, when that started to run, that was your little canary in the coal mine when it started to pop up.
Greg, let's go to the Stock Exchange News Service if we can, because this morning we were talking about it on the opening, but the big one was Sasol. Their results have been delayed. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I sort of looked at it more and more and read a couple of reports, really. Look, it's never a good thing. It's never been a case where they've done so well that they need to count the money a couple more times. But yeah, it looks like on an audit level that it has to be some more work done. It's easy with hindsight, completely overreacted, and one stage we were down 14%, put in a low at 233.93. But I think as those reports written by, you know, the Merrills and Deitches of this world came through to the brokers, we started reading them. Things aren't really that bad. And certainly when the U.S. opened, that was going to always be the test. They didn't really take it much lower. So down 4% for the day, 265 Rand, down 13 Rand. Some big value of trade, 1.5 billion Rands for the trade. But I think for me, the biggest fear is a cut in the dividend.
Yeah, if I just add to what Greg's saying, Lindsay, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I think when the broker notes came through, and I think what was important more than anything else is that this delay with 24 hours ago, you think they would have known a month or so ago, but anyway, with this delay is not a result of the reinstatement for the financial numbers, what I think everyone was worried about. Yeah. And that cost guidance of, I think it was $12.6 or $12.9 billion for that the delay of the cracker, that remains intact. So even though that this, I think this is certainly going to totally screw up sentiment, and we heard via the sort of the trader vine today that the largest asset managers, the Allan Grays, the Coronations, apparently they were responsible for holding this back. They basically went to management and said, look, we want a full audit on this Lake Charles. You know, leave your gilded building at the top of Sands and get in a plane, get your boots dirty, tell us what's going on, and then come out with these numbers. So I think it's a little bit of a share activism and maybe also a little bit of people. It's pretty
much a reasonable story that some of the big institutional shareholders were getting together to write a letter to the board, and I think to preempt that, I thought, well, let's just make sure that we've got everything exactly, because you can't have another situation, you know, where they suddenly short another $1 billion.
Do these guys not have an HR department? Can they not find an investor relations person who basically knows more than flipping a burger? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous investor relations. Surely. I mean, this is madness. Madness. Yeah, I mean, they're stumbling from one catastrophe
maybe
to another.
Maybe I should reinvent myself. I mean, podcasting is fine and everything, but maybe I should get a seven-figure salary and go and work for Sasol or someone like that, because I could do a much better job, I must say. And I could do a much better job, I think, at Discovery, because there was... don't want to be nasty.
You couldn't do worse.
Don't be nasty, because they are listening. Discovery share price today has done rather well, and that was, I think, on the back of the fact that it was oversold. But at 7:30 this morning, Discovery Limited came out with a voluntary announcement and Discovery's view on the NHI bill and the future role of medical schemes. Now, I read it and they said, everything's fine, we love NHI, and we really embrace NHI. And I just think to myself, who are you trying to kid? Greg, both of you, please.
Yeah, look, I mean, the market, I don't know if it was just because, you know, the old three-day rule with these sell-offs came into play in the shed. It's been a couple of – the last 2 days sort of vacillating around 100, 101, 102, and it's got quite a couple of the punters involved. I got a lot of calls, you know, get me some discovery down here, just hoping, you know, speculators hoping for a bounce. Yeah, nerves seem to be calmed. It's rallied back. Still a long way to go. 110.66 rand, up 4.4%. But certainly the best day probably in the last 10 days.
Yeah, we sort of got a, you know, our research team who are not like us staring at screens, although they came out with a sort of a evaluation worst case scenario of I think 118, 120 a share if this national health insurance ever goes in its worst form, which was distributed to clients. And as Greg said, I think we also had a couple of punters saying this is, let's look for a little bit of a bounce here, looks overdone. And I think we can all agree, gentlemen, that this is, if this ever comes to fruition, it's going to take 7 years, maybe a decade. So looks a little bit overdone in the short term.
Just let me just give you something here. And should I do this or not? Yes, I should do this.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. Monday, the 12th of August at 3:49 p.m., I sent a message to Adrian Gore, who's always very good at getting back to me. I said, "Dear Adrian, you are, I'm certain, being inundated with requests. I join that list and I give you the opportunity to soothe investors' nerves. Lindsay." Okay. Then I can't get something back. On Wednesday, I get back from his PA or one of his minions, and it says, "Dear Lindsay, thanks for the opportunity. Please give us until tomorrow to get back to you." Now, tomorrow was yesterday. Best regards, so-and-so. Have I got anything back?
That's perpetual, because every day, today is always tomorrow.
Exactly, yeah. Like going into a bar and seeing those stupid things on the wall saying free drinks tomorrow. Thanks for the opportunity. Please give us until tomorrow to get back to you. And they don't get back to me. And yeah, I find that it's not unforgivable, but it's just say no. We don't want to talk to you. Just say no.
Yeah.
I love the word
you
no.
You just say he's probably no is a full sentence, but – yeah, he's probably, as you're saying in your introduction, he's inundated with people in the media and probably investors and brokers, analysts, all asking to have a word. And they may have decided to hold off until Monday.
When was the last time, Nick Kunzer, you stayed in a City Lodge hotel?
A long, long time ago. And, let's not go into details. I was married.
I wasn't asking about the personal stuff. I'm talking about the fact that the share price is down 2.5% today after its results. So please go on from there.
Yeah, look, it's a funny one, because actually, ironically, I had a client ask me this morning about Sun International. I think a lot of people are thinking the Rand where it is and tourism and all the rest of it, these guys should be running, but they certainly haven't done. And City Lodge also feels like it needs a little bit of a lick of paint, doesn't it? It's in a crowded space, certainly within that lower hotel range, that sort of, what do they charge nowadays, 900 to about 1300 rand per night per room. It seems to be useful for choice. And in an environment where the tourism was down, I think, 20% year on year in the Western Cape, you know, they're going to battle for the time being.
No, I was saying this morning with this Airbnbs as well. Not making life easy for them.
People no, eating their lunch. Right?
Online and finding a nice place to stay.
Nick Kunzer, you work for Sanlam. Sanlam Limited came out at 10 o'clock this morning with a trading statement. Carry on, please.
What would you like to know?
I'd like to know what it's like working for Sanlam and what on earth they're doing in a challenging trading environment.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the one side that has made money in Sanlam has always been the insurance side, and that and also going for that, the Santam side, I see they've got earnings up in 2 weeks' time as well, always seem to shoot the lights out. But, I mean, in this current environment, I think a lot of us are suffering, you know, feeling the sort of the slowdown in liquidity. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone. But we continue to sort of push on. But, look, I can tell you, speaking from the horse's mouth, I mean, we're, we're not turning left on planes when we go to meetings. We're turning right. We're cutting costs like everyone else, and we're trying to batter down the hatches, which after a tough couple of years, that's for sure.
Greg, Stardio is a company that is interesting. It's a small cap. It's relatively thin when it comes to free float. And it says here, earnings per share will be between 4.7 cents and 5.4 cents, representing an increase of between 31 and 50% increase for the 6 months ended 30th of June. And the share price, or rather the market participants, boosting the share price quite nicely. Stardio.
Yes, I mean, that trading statement came out 10 o'clock this morning, and a little bit of a surprise because a lot of the competitors in that space have been taking a little bit of a strain. The share price, and I quickly drew up a chart while you were chatting there. At the beginning of this year, let's call it February, where it was trading around 4 Rand. So overnight, it was 2 Rand 35. So it's back to 274, which is up 16%. But still, it's already done quite a lot of work on the downside ahead of this trading statement.
Grindrod has come out with a trading statement as well. Nick Kunze. I was telling Greg the other day that I live in Rotterdam at the moment, and I'm on the Mighty Maas River, right next to the Mighty Maas River, and I see the barges going to and from other European ports and other European destinations, and the traffic has become noticeably diminished recently. So Grindrod, obviously a logistics company, must have come under pressure. Now, Grindrod Limited trading statement. Have a look at that one.
Yeah, I mean, Grindrod's, we used to be quite close to the business a while ago. We used to quite like them, and we did a lot of homework on them. But, I mean, I think someone made the comment that after they split, they turned a perfectly tradable, decent mid-cap share into two useless small-cap shares, which is, I think, is kind of where we are at the moment.
That's a real issue there. That Grindrod Shipping, which they unbundled, they listed, I think, on the NASDAQ. Well, they're listed somewhere in the U.S.
No, NASDAQ,
and there's no market maker. I don't know who the corporate advisors. I'm sure it's not Sun.
Well, the corporate advisors were RMB. Apparently, they banked 38 bar for doing the advisory, dumped them on the NASDAQ, never looked back, never made a market, and disappeared. So, unfortunately, they completely torpedoed that share. But Grindrod, I think, are battling. I mean, the share took a proper hiding, 4.90 down 16%. At one stage, it actually was even lower during the day.
Intraday. It was down 27% at one stage.
Yeah, but gents, just look at some of the logistics around the world. Look at the slowing global economy. This is such a cyclical business, and these guys have been struggling for a while. They're also stuck in an environment locally where we've got no growth either. I mean, it's a bit of a perfect storm for these guys, really. I wouldn't touch the share of the barge pole, no pun intended.
Yeah. I actually sent a private message to Johan Rupert on his Twitter handle.
What did he say, Greg?
And he asked you tomorrow. You'll get back to you tomorrow.
No, he actually replied. And I think part of the reply obviously was in Afrikaans to just test that I'm not a robot or a lunatic.
You're not a bot.
I just said to him, you know, boss, listen, there's no one making
Did you call him boss?
Market. No. I was groveling. But I did say,
hello.
There's no one making your market in Grindrod Shipping. Can you look into it? And he more or less said, yeah, there's going to be a roadshow and don't worry about it. But thanks for pointing it out. But I was so amazed to get a reply. I wasn't able to reply to that.
Crikey, Greg.
Did you get out your Afrikaans dictionary?
No, I can speak.
You can send messages to WhatsApps or whatever it is to multi-billionaires.
Yeah, what a world. What a time to be alive.
Greg's in a different
Every league, morning yeah. I'm tweeting to Donald. Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to more serious matters now and look at the spot prices. And we've got the Rand at 15.22 against the US dollar. The dollar Rand is 15.22. The British pound against the Rand is 18.49. The Euro Rand is 16.90. Euro dollar 110.99. So let's call it 111. And that's more or less unchanged. And we go down to the gold price. The gold price is down $15 to 15.08. The platinum price is 8.42. Greg Davies, the palladium price, please.
Palladium flat on the low, 1448.
58.64 is the Brent crude oil price, which is up 25 cents per barrel. And Nick Kunze, maybe you at Sanlam Private Wealth can give us the latest on the Wall Street indices.
Yeah, absolutely. So really nice day happening over the Wall Street to finish up what's been quite a torturous week. We've got the S&P futures currently up 38 points, 28.86, and on the spot is trading 2,889, just 11 points away from that to reclaim the 2,900 level. And we've got the Dow Jones, a little bit of a lagger, but still up 328 points, 1.28%. and finally not to be left out. And NASDAQ, actually the biggest move on the day, up almost 2% at 1.85%.
Right, let's have a look at the top five major movers on this final day of the trading week. And I've got on my ShareNet screen, Greg Davies, you must refresh yours, but I've got African Rainbow Minerals, ARM, up 5.4%, SAPI up 4.6%, Discovery, a 4.4% mover. And it's gone from just below 100 to just over 110. So we've had a 10% move in 2 days, pretty good. Bidvest up 3.2% and Resilient 3% higher. Stories there, please, Greg.
I think we might have overlooked it in the when we're going through the SENS announcement, but Resilient.
The results,
They had numbers, which was expected. They had them in about 1:45, right in the middle of lunch. It was probably quite clever. The share price responding quite nicely, up 3%. Look, it's not the same share that it was. When those one or two hedge funds started writing reports, the share was 145, 150 rand. It got clobbered down to 51. So today it's closed at 60 rand 27. So it's still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, but in a tough environment, I mean, revenue I see was 3.8 billion versus 3.87, which is not bad going. And also I think the market quite liked the fact that the distribution was actually going to increase by 5% in the financial year. And I think people are looking for a little bit of a flat distribution. But Greg's right, a very different company. So it was when it was facing the wrath of the hedges last year.
And in the middle of all of that, without going back to me talking to CEOs, but someone there, and I'm not going to say who,
why not?
Threatened me for writing a tweet.
Please say it. Please be honest for once in your life.
To look after. But someone was very angry about some tweets that were going around pre the share price collapse.
Carry on.
He's not going to tell us, is he?
No. Okay.
Spill the beans, Greg. I mean, come on now. I mean, no one's listening.
No, people will join the dots, I'm sure.
On the downside, we've got Truworths down 7.5% today. Sasol down 4.75%, but was down 13% at one stage. RCL down 4.3%. Motors down 3.75%. And TFG, the company that used to be known as Fashini, down 3.25%. Let's have a look at Truworths, Nick Kunze. I spoke to Michael Mark, the CEO who says he's never going to be CEO again and continues to be CEO, and he's a really good fellow, and I wish he would stay as CEO because he's a fine chap. But Truworths down 7.5%. That's not a next dividend thing, is it?
No, I mean, they were out with a profit warning on the 15th, as in yesterday. They just weren't great. I mean, the profit before tax year end, I mean, it was tumbling down, I think, anywhere between 50, I can't remember the exact number, it was 56 or 57% down compared to the same period. I mean, this is a real, real tough one. And ironically, I mean, it's not expensive. I mean, the stock's trading on single-digit PEs. It's got a dividend yield of over 6%, but they're just in that wrong place at the wrong time in a slowing economy. Bricks and mortar, you know, they've got a tough one. I mean, year to date, that share is down 39%. So they've got an uphill battle. They really do.
Yeah, and that's quite right. That's the space, because if TFG, Fashini is also down 3.2. But at one stage, Truworths is down just north of 9%. So 7.5 is bad. But it could have been a lot worse.
You know, guys, I can't even remember. You know, 10 years ago, if you're lucky to get a 3 or 4% move on the JSE, I mean, I don't know what is going on. We're becoming more and more like the US. We'll be having these 20, 30% swings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think you're right. These algos
the
are.
It's probably too thin for the way some of these algos trade today. Just too aggressive, really. Yeah.
Okay, Greg, give us the closing JSE indices, please.
Sure. The bank's down 0.53. Financials up 0.07, tiny up there. Industrials up 0.75%. The retailers, we spoke about those two, down 1.58. Gold index managed to give us a green, up 0.20, slightly better. Platinum's giving up ground again, down 1.6. Impala slipped back towards 71 rand. Resources down 0.21. Left the oil share up 0.06, 34 points better, 53,875. The value of trade, 19.6. 7 billion.
What are you looking forward to next week? Nick Kunze, you're better at this than Greg is.
Well, I just think, look, I think the problem we've got is, first of all, the Chinese tend to release a lot of data over the weekend on a Sunday. And Trumpy, depending how he wakes up in his dressing gown and how many McDonald's he's had on a Sunday morning, Greg's favorite, depending what he actually says on a
just
Sunday.
Just before you go on, there was a picture that Greg posted on Twitter today with Donald Trump with dark hair lying on his bed in a dressing gown.
I've got that poster up in my room.
with DT on his on embroidered on the yeah. No, so it's so disturbing. I think Lindsay, I think it'd be nice to get maybe a little bit more sort of, I don't know, substance about these Chinese trade wars. I mean, that's only been a week now since that sort of hit the wall and we caused the real start of it on Monday. So then normally the Americans, Washington normally do this sort of the TV political shows on a Sunday. So there might be some feedback coming in, but hopefully a little bit of a lull in this volatility would be nice after the week we had. So that's what I'm looking forward to next week.
I'm looking forward to Athletic Bilbao versus Barcelona tonight, the kickoff of the La Liga season, and also the Lord's Test, etc. I'm looking forward to getting away from the financial services industry and the JSE and the Dow Jones, etc. Gentlemen, you have enlightened my evening. Thank you very much. Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.